The Nooks and Crannies of Extraordinary. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. I wanted to take this opportunity in this very first episode to share with you a little bit about my inspiration for not only doing the podcast, but really for the title of the podcast, The Nooks and Crannies of Extraordinary. When I was in high school, we had a fantastic government and economics teacher named Mr. Silverman. And Mr. Silverman assigned us a book called Naked Economics. This book was written by an economist named Charles Whelan. And the cover and the title of the book served two purposes. First of all, the cover of the book, in line with the title, was a figure supposed to be naked, being covered by a dollar sign. And the purpose of that, in conjunction with the title, was first of all to make high school students giggle and, of course, read the book and be engaged and have fun along the way. The second purpose was much more metaphoric and intentional. Charles was, I think, trying to teach us a preliminary lesson about how economics fits in with our ordinary lives. A lesson, of course, that was being taught before we even opened the book. It was just the cover and the title. That lesson is that economics, which is broadly concerned with the development, use, and exchange of currency, is designed, historically speaking, to facilitate human coordination on a massive scale. A scale, as it turns out, large enough to cover the entire globe. And one of the benefits, one of the many benefits of this system that Whelan is really trying to unpack and shine some light on is the interconnectivity that it facilitates and the lessons that we can learn about the interconnectivity that it facilitates. For example, there is a favorite line in the entire book that I have highlighted here. The line goes, "Economists sometimes ask, who feeds Paris? It's a rhetorical way of drawing attention to the mind-numbing array of things happening every moment of every day to make a modern global economy work. For example, somehow the right amount of fresh tuna makes its way from a fishing fleet in the South Pacific to a restaurant on the Rue de Rivoli." That's my French accent. "Furthermore, a neighborhood fruit vendor has exactly what his customers want every morning, even though those products may come from 10 or even 15 different countries." So what does this all mean? This means that throughout this podcast, my goal is to try and dig in and discover and evaluate how ordinary people and ideas can be extraordinary. For me, a really easy way to do that is to start, ironically, by talking about a very complicated subject called economics, one that I will never be able to master due to my deficiencies in math. But there are concepts and ideas underpinning that math that I care about and that I think are relevant to you, the listeners, to discuss and talk about and have it to enrich your own lives. Those ideas are the valuing of people behind the interconnectivity. And really, the valuing of those who, whether through culture or through finances, are usually left behind, for lack of better words, or at least not considered to be the VIPs of an economy. For example, when I was in high school, I starred in one of our plays called Working. Working was a play that's actually based on a book written by a journalist, Studs Terkel. And what Studs Terkel was known for, what he became known for, was creating a massive text, over 500 pages, journaling his interviews with basic folks from all walks of life about their work, what they thought about their work, why they did their work, what their work meant to them, and how they viewed themselves and their work as puzzle pieces, placing them in the larger picture of the fabric of society. When I was auditioning to play the role of Mike Dillard, a steelworker, our theater director, Jacqueline Schultz, who I'm still in touch with to this day, had asked me not to read the script as my audition, but to improvise my own impersonation of who I thought Mike Dillard was. To me, what that looked like was giving a small speech about how Mike was one of the building blocks of modern society, contributing to the creation of bridges, homes, commercial real estate, etc. Working hard behind the scenes, getting his hands dirty. And yet, he remained one of the underappreciated members of society and the broader economy. And that helped me inform my understanding of how I was going to play this character and how, more importantly, I was going to relate to my cast members who were in other occupations, like accountants and stockbrokers. On a more recent note, I have grown a very close relationship with our inventory man, I will call him. His name is Greg at my current work in our retail store. And Greg's job is pretty simple. He comes in every week, maybe 3 times a week, to clean out our closets that get filled with wires and equipment and all sorts of stuff that customers throw at us. He cleans it out, ships it back to the warehouse, and in the same period of time, refills it, replenishes it with fresh space, fresh equipment, fresh cords. One of the interesting things to me about Greg is that when you first look at him, you don't know his name, you don't know what he does for a living, but when you just look at him, he's got teeth that are cheddar cheese yellow. He reeks of cigarettes. He smokes a lot because he's a truck driver. So what else are you going to do? He has a horrible hunch. Point being, he's not the most attractive guy by traditional standards. But man, is his job important. He is the reason that you have internet equipment in your house right now. And that fact alone has drawn me to him. And it's kind of facilitated my friendship with him. And he kind of views me as you know, the little up-and-coming guy. He has a son. And I kind of look up to him as not quite a mentor, but an example of someone who takes pride in their work, even though their work may not be universally recognized by those who benefit from it. Our goal here is to bring people together from different professions and discuss how we all contribute to the fabric of making the modern economy work, and how having the economy as a focal point allows us to have a deeper appreciation for how we are all connected through our contributions to the same thing. It's one of the most fascinating things that I find about the value and the idea of currencies. The notion that the only reason I need a dollar is because it's valued by the next person who I'm going to be paying for their service or product. And they want my dollar because the person they're going to be paying for a product or service needs still my dollar. And so on and so on and so forth. It's the notion, really, at the end of the day, that I need you. And you need me. And together, we need them. And still more, they need us. It is a constant and expanding collection of interwebbed people who need each other, even though they have no idea the other person's name, sometimes. I need the person who lives in New York. Me from California needs the person in New York, because the person in New York owns the product that I'm paying for to ship to California. And the person in New York, when they receive Jake's dollar, they might pay the person in Japan for when they make their travel to Asia. And then the person in Japan who owns a local restaurant suddenly gets their currency, of course, through the exchange. But that exchange will only happen because Jake sent the guy in New York his dollar. And Jake was only able to send the guy in New York his dollar because someone else gave their dollar to Jake. That is what's meaningful about this to me, and what I hope is meaningful to you too. Finding the crevices in the world, the nooks and crannies, the ways that many times go unnoticed by all of us, that are really so extraordinary and part of the human experience. Notions of connectivity, interconnectivity, valuing each other. Those are the things that have gone lost, and I want to restore them. I want to restore at least getting us back in the right direction of recognizing them. That we all need each other, in some way. Even if it's very small, we still need each other because we each have value in some way. We all have value in some way that the next person needs. This has been the first episode, and it certainly will not be the last. There will be other episodes like this one, but there will also be episodes of interviews with people. Either way, I hope that you will join me next time in exploring the ways by making ordinary concepts, people, and ideas become extraordinary.